We're just going to go back up to the top on the IIR. So we're at number three. Please, please, please keep your comments brief. We are 2432 in regards to William Sean Penn, DVM. And Tracy or Annalise, you can read the...
I'm sorry, which one are you going
on?
Sean Penn.
And I hate to do this, but Dr. James has to leave. If that's the case, Nikki's going to have to recuse herself from case 24-107, so we may want to address that one.
Okay. Okay.
24-107. Okay.
So we are on 24-107 regards to Tamara Pauletto, DVM. Tracy or Annalise?
So this... I don't have a front load. This is just information for the board. This just is a last minute type of situation that we have received a complaint from some co-workers of Dr. Pauletto's with some concerns that were expressed and set forth in the complaint. We did receive a brief statement from Dr. Pauletto today. She was at Western States, so this is not a response to the complaint.
Okay.
So she's just letting you guys know that she's not available to come in before you today to make any statements. She also provided a letter from a MD that she had seen. It's a brief letter, but that's also on the cloud. Okay. But it's very, very brief.
Okay, I was like, this is my case, I haven't seen either of those.
I can provide that to you. The letter just
read it. You just want to read it out loud?
I don't know if I want to read a doctor's statement.
You're right. Thank you.
But it is quick, easy read, okay. So you guys would be able to read it.
A supplement? Where is it?
It's in her case file under the IIRs, 24-107.
Yeah. Which the IIRs. Not the supplemental, the IIRs, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The last two.
All right, so that's from
number 20. It's all in the cloud, yeah. And I did not have it printed.
Yes.
Because it came this morning.
Okay. Sorry, can you remind me, when did this incident take place?
I believe it was around the second week of January.
It's a big deal.
Okay,
it was
so
around the second week of January.
Thank you.
Okay, and so right now we don't have any indication, though, whether she is or is not planning to return to work next week.
So I did speak with her, and she is not planning on returning to work on the 26th, as we were previously told. I asked her specifically about that. She is continuing to be on administrative leave until further notice. I think she wanted to wait to hear what the board was going to be saying or how they were going to handle this case.
Okay, because you know, we have a couple different ways to look at this. So I after reading this case, I'm not so concerned that we have a diversion issue at the moment. People might disagree, but and again, I want to be sensitive to the information that we're sharing in open session about her mental health. But you know, she's also not here. I'm worried about her duty for fitness and whether she is safe to be in practice, not only for others, but for herself. I don't know, this isn't my area of expertise. I don't know if that 4 weeks is a normal turnaround to return to work. I don't know those things. I feel a little bit better knowing maybe that she's not returning to work in a few weeks, so I can't decide whether, you know, to order this, you know, this interim order. But then again, we have a statement from a medical provider saying that they believe that she is fit to return to work without really any other background on it. So I can't decide really if she was here and we could talk to her and you know, how are you doing?
I found it interesting that she did not provide any information at all regarding what happened.
Yes.
Nothing.
Right.
Yes.
So we don't have a response to the complaint yet. Right. So we really have no, we actually have no idea what happened.
I know, we're all
assuming. Except what we do know is that her colleagues were so concerned.
Yeah. that they reported it, yes. And there's the possibility of diversion. I mean, fatal plus if...
Microdoses?
Pardon?
Microdoses.
Well, I was going to ask, is it like the new, I mean, is it...
It has ketamine in it.
It can be abused, yeah.
Okay.
It can be abused. It should euthanize her own pets.
It's an old anesthetic, basically.
I guess I thought it did. I thought it had one job and one job only, so I guess I didn't realize it was...
And there are other issues regarding this case, regarding patient care, too.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the question, though, before the board this evening is it appropriate to order her to undergo some sort of, you know, evaluation for purposes of assisting you in an investigation?
Yes, because we don't, this doctor or whoever the psychiatrist was, it wasn't submitted for approval to Victoria before she did it, correct?
No, we don't know what information they or didn't know.
Yeah, we need more than that.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So then the question is, what kind of evaluation?
I would...
Well, can we get the report? Because he says, I don't want to read this, but if you need further information documentation, can we get more information from this doctor?
We can absolutely subpoena that as part of the investigation.
Yeah. Because it sounds like there may be something more here, but...
So the person that she saw is a psychiatrist, not necessarily an addictionologist?
Yeah, at least seeing like what it's a starting point to jump off and see what was going on.
Agreed, but if you're talking about what kind of evaluation to order?
Right.
Yeah, is that, yeah, because would that be addictionologist, would that be psychiatrist,
yes.
Would that be, because we don't know exactly what happened.
Well, we know it involves a controlled substance.
Correct.
Yeah, but it was like a, or was it?
Correct.
Well, yeah, that's where, I had no idea until you just shared that with me, that
I cheated and looked it up.
Used in a
if we're kind of going to assign something, it's kind of blind right now unless we can get this. I mean, would this be one where we can get the information and then do a special session to kind of, I mean, I'd be willing to do a phone call special session once we get the information to know where to direct it from there, not having to wait till next month, but I don't know if that's worth it or not.
In the interim, I share the chair's concern about protection of the public. There are a lot of unanswered questions here. We have someone who says they're not returning to work, but I think we have to err on the side of protecting the public and say, you can't return to work for 30 days until we...
You would have to do a summary suspension.
Yeah, I was like, well, hold on.
That's not where we are.
Okay.
So it's just what you can do today, Mark, is order of value.
That's it. Okay. You have to exercise your authority to, direct her to go. And it doesn't have to be limited to one. It could be, a substance abuse and a fitness for duty evaluation.
Okay.
I like both. What if she's already done one, but it's not, if she has one piece of it, but they weren't our approved person, can we accept
we'd be okay with
that, right? Okay, so we don't have to,
right,
be going
or
backwards.
An approved report. This an approved report?
Yeah.
And I think that the one piece that we don't know and that we would have to find out is what information did they have at the time they met and rendered their opinion?
Right.
How much information do they know?
Yes.
What was told?
Right.
Okay.
To share.
We gotta know what they
can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we share the information that was reported to us?
Yes.
Okay.
As part of, we do that in all our cases.
And also the previous history.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm making
an interim order.
A motion for a board order. I'm finding, okay, so just...
So it would be a motion to issue an interim order for her to undergo fill-in-the-blank activity for fitness evaluation, and then, or fitness, fitness for duty, and then I don't know if you want about the substance abuse.
The substance abuse,
yes.
It's not wrong to cover everything because we have a previous history, so...
Right, okay. Can I just say so moved?
Well, can you give us a little bit more guidance, please, as far as, who would you like to have? Certainly we have a substance abuse specialist. But the fitness for duty, what are the minimum qualifications to do that?
Didn't Dr. Keene claim that he could do both?
In that other case.
in that other case? Yeah.
When I say fatal plus, I mean just more basic psychiatrists. Like there's a subspecialty of like.
So just minimal.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say, yeah, just a psychiatrist.
All right, I disagree. I think it's a controlled substance, and I think there's a possibility of diversion here. Do you think she was attempting to commit suicide? Is that why you think?
That's what I thought.
But it was a microdose.
We don't know.
Well, that's a theory. Okay. There's a lot of other drugs you can get high on.
Well, yeah, I was like, of all the things, why would you
pick a different one?
Why wouldn't you take ketamine out of your clinic instead of this thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of safer ones. So I lean more towards.
On the other hand, I would take this one because that takes the. That's exactly what that board's going to think.
Okay.
If I take ketamine, it's pretty obvious.
Sure. Okay.
If I take Fatal Plus and have done some internet research and figure out how to use this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that because then I can make it sound like something else.
So it is a Schedule II, so it's like you really screwed up on that one.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, to expedite things, I think we should go ahead. We have grounds to do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's asking for direction from us. We need to give it to her.
Right.
And then is it the typical time frame? So do you want to shorten a little bit given the concern?
I would make sure we have it before the next meeting.
Yeah. The report, the evaluation.
Yeah, maybe a little bit aggressive to get the to get the appointment and then get the report generated. I mean, I can think that can be aspirational.
Yes. To have the appointment within the next 30 days and to have the report to the board within 60 days. How does that sound?
Appointment and I think 60 days is too long.
You think it's too long?
I am hoping that we've already checked these boxes. This is what I'm hoping is she's going to come back and say, all right, I've been an inpatient. I've done this.
We're still going to need a treatment plan.
Well, that's what I think we're going to get this information, the documentation from this one for sure.
Well,
so that may be part of it.
You can always do, the 30 days, and then if she needs more time, she can come back.
Sure, just reassess at the next meeting. Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to. So I'd give 30 days, and if that's not doable, then we'll discuss it in person.
So wait, 30
meeting.
Days to schedule these two appointments?
Well, I think 30
to
days
have
to
have the appointment.
To have the appointment.
To have it
right.
Schedule
and
have.
The report generated.
Yeah.
And the report generated in 30 days.
And if we can't get it done at that point, we need to have a darn good reason.
Then
why.
She's going to come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be done.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else I need to say, Mark? I'm running out of steam.
What is FAPA as a credential?
I wanted to ask if the board wanted to direct staff to notify the DEA about the possible diversion.
Well, yes. Now that you've told me that
If Fatal Plus is a controlled substance?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes, then notify DEA. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's my motion.
Second.
Order. I think we've got all the pieces, right?
Yeah. You guys are ordering an interim order to determine fitness of duty and substance use by an addictionologist and to have an evaluation and reports to the board within 30 days and also to notify DEA regarding the incident.
Okay, perfect.
Which, like I said, this short little letter we got is the FAPA is a fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, so that might cover the psychiatrist.
Right, like
if
I said, that's
we get
what
a good
I'm
report from
hoping
that.
That. Yeah.
So it may just be the addictionologist.
And this is also a board approved healthcare professionals that, and you're granting Ms. Whitmore the authority to approve those individuals.
Yes.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I don't remember if we stated, but Ms. Frost was recused on that item.
And now
you're leaving. So we're going back.
We have to, Timothy Chason.
Yes.
You're going to be recused from that.
Right.
So we won't be able to finish that one.
How quick is that?
Let's do it for that one.
Okay, so we're on number 192479 regards to Timothy Chason, DVM. Tracy, you're obviously reading.
Okay, this one is as of December.
Straight to
2479, the complainant is the board and the respondent is Timothy Chesson, DVM, at the December 15, 2023. Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation regarding respondent's conduct while employed by Destination Pet, doing business as Exceptional Pets in Green Valley. There were concerns with respect to respondent's failure to complete medical records, delegating euthanasia services to staff, removing non-controlled medications from the premises, and errors, omissions, and controlled substance laws that could not be accounted for. And this matter is brought directly to you for your review and consideration.
Okay, thank you. Please note that Dr. Nosley is recused, and Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
Yeah, so based on this, I mean, I have questions around a lot of this, so yes. I make a motion to move this to an informal.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move case 2479 to an informal. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, any more that I'm missing?
I think we're good now.
Yeah, we haven't done 15 and 16. Good old Dr. Morris.
Sorry, we're going back up to Sean
as
Penn.
As long as someone else has to recuse on it.
Okay.
Then we can do the approval of minutes next month. Because I have to recuse.
Because you've got to abstain.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, so 2432 in regards to William Sean Penn. Thank you for being here.
Okay,
32.
The complainant is Mia Villa. The respondent is William Sean Penn, DVM. On August 8, 2023, Jack, a 8-year-old male Australian Shepherd, was presented to respondent for an abdominal ultrasound. A tentative diagnosis of pancreatitis was made and recommendations were made for further diagnostics, hospitalization, and treatment. Complainant declined. On August 11, 2023, the dog was presented to respondent's premises for treatment and hospitalization for the day. That evening, the dog's care was transferred to a 24-hour facility. Upon arrival at the emergency facility, the dog was evaluated and an AFAS revealed a possible abdominal mass. Abdominal fluid was removed and an intestinal mass was able to be visualized. Later that evening, the dog was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. And that motion was approved by a vote of 3-0.
Okay, thank you. And I apologize, Mr. Stoll, are you here for that?
Yes.
Okay. Are you making a statement or just?
I have a very lengthy time consuming.
Oh, please.
No, I'm hearing monitor only.
Okay, sounds good. We like that. And Dr. Wright, you are the lead on that one.
Yes, so again, going through this, an ultrasound was done, and they can be difficult to interpret and see what's going on. But there was recommendation for further diagnostics, hospitalization, treatment. So even though it appears that a mass was missed initially, I don't think that this was a problem because we're still trying to work this case out. So we just didn't get a diagnosis on day one, but ultimately the diagnosis was there. I don't find a statute violation based on this, so I make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Okay. I'll second that. Motion and a second to dismiss this case. There's no further discussion. All those in.
Sorry, my discussion points on this would be these conflicting ultrasounds. There was, from the respondent, we got a full set of images. We did not get any images from the emergency vet. Then there's this issue of the draining of the fluid. That's where I have an issue. The respondent states that he didn't drain the fluid, or he does not emphatically drain the fluid. There was no discussion with the owner. There are risks, but our aim here is to get a diagnosis. So if I tell you those risks, maybe I'll go ahead and do it. I didn't even have a chance to do that. So that's where my issue regarding the ultrasounds. The emergency clinician drained it, repeated, and came up with some definite findings of which she seems pretty sure. The dismissing of the caudal abdominal neoplasia, because that's what she said. She didn't say bladder. She said caudal abdomen. Well, I've had prostate carcinomas in neutered dogs.
Oh, yeah.
More than once. So that's where I would have issue with the respondent's action in that case, is these conflicting ultrasounds, and maybe we would have had a better following of acceptable medical procedures if they at least would have been entertained to remove that fluid and take another look. Both are agreeing that the fluid can be interfering. Mm-hmm. They're both agreeing that. And we moved forward in this case, and ultimately the diagnosis then was then made.
Yeah, but you don't always have to drain off fluid too. I mean, yeah, right. You can do it for a diagnostic test, but you also have to be worried about, like I said, removing too much protein,
sure,
ascites and all
sure
that. So do I fault him for not doing it? Not necessarily. I mean,
I don't fault him for not doing it. He stood his ground and said, I do not do it. I fault him for not bringing the owner into that decision and saying there are risks involved, but I don't have a diagnosis for you, A, and B, I think the fluid may be interfering with this. So.
So would you recommend, what would your recommendation be with that?
That would be, I guess, a communication issue.
A letter of concern?
Yeah, possibly a letter of concern.
Or move it to informal, that's.
Or do we need to know more information or from them? No.
You sure you guys aren't doing this on purpose?
No, I'm sorry. Okay. It's just I had that in my.
Obviously, we have a diagnosis ultimately
made of neoplasia in this case.
And it had to be there
however many days before.
Yeah. Yeah, but he had a presumptive diagnosis, and I said
he did mention the possibility.
Right. Yeah, so I can't fault him on.
And when an owner is declining every
the
diagnostics, right? Am I on the right case where?
Made for further diagnostics, hospitalization, and treatment, and the complaint declined.
This one's screaming for a necropsy.
No, I definitely see, but I almost wonder if that's, like I said, hindsight is 2020 type.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I based on the findings, I think the presumptive diagnosis, even though it was incorrect necessarily, was not wrong. We didn't diagnose, like, heart failure or something causing ascites, so. And I'll stick with the dismiss with no violation.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to dismiss with no violation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
All right.
Two nays.
Can we?
Hold on. What were you?
Aye.
Okay. Do you want me to do a roll call? Or are you comfortable?
We have two nays. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then three ayes.
Yeah.
It passes. Okay.
Two nays and three ayes.
Am I doing my math correct?
Yeah.
We barely have quorum.
It's okay. Very
good. Right.
All right. Now we are going to number 9, 2440, in regards to Jeremy Bowers, DVM.
Case 2440. The complainant is Mario Acosta, PhD. The respondent is Jeremy Bowers, DVM. On September 16th, 2023, Jazz, an 8-year-old female domestic short-haired cat, was presented to respondent for a wellness exam and vaccines. Before the visit, complainant gave the cat gabapentin orally to help with handling. After getting a history from complainant, staff attempted to remove the cat from the carrier. The cat was hissing through the carrier. After the cat bit or scratched the staff member, the cat was taken to the treatment room for an exam. In the treatment area, the cat was examined and vaccines were administered. Staff asked complainant if he had any questions for respondent. There was none, therefore the complainant was checked out and left the premises with his cat. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. And the motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no respondent and no complainant. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yeah, this left a lot to be desired. The statement from the owner, the same from the veterinarian, don't match the vaccine or the medical record, really. I mean, so kind of rough all the way around. So, I mean, if somebody was bit, then that should be documented. And not seeing the client at all kind of blows my mind, but, you know, this is what it is. So based on the medical record, I would say dismiss with no violation. Except it sounds like there is communication issues. A lot of them. Very deep.
Okay. Do I hear a second? I'll second it. It's a motion and a second to dismiss case 2440 with no violation. Do you want to tack on a letter of concern or no?
Well, the issue is he's really veterinarian for that facility, and he didn't know about it until he got the complaint, but he should have been told about it. But the joys of being a relief veterinarian, be picky where you relief at, I guess. Moral of the story here. I don't know.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we are on number 11, 2444, in regards to Paula Tyler, DVM. And Tracy.
Case 2444. The complainant is Scott Johnston. The respondent is Paula Tyler, DVM. On August 29, 2023, Hans, 18-month-old male German Shepherd, was presented to respondent for a heartworm test and a prescription for heartworm preventative. Complainant wanted a specific heartworm preventative that respondent felt did not provide adequate protection against heartworm, therefore had staff call for a different product. Complainant stated that respondent's reasoning for not providing the heartworm preventative he wanted was political, and a verbal confrontation ensued. The complainant was terminated from the practice. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent's premises did not provide medical records timely, had obtained compensation for an orthopedic referral, and was unprofessional in her communication. Respondent stated that she nor her associate and staff had ever met complainant as his mother routinely brought the dog in for care until the August 29, 2023 appointment. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board find ARS 3222.33b3 for minor records violations that are routine entries into the medical record and that do not affect the diagnosis or care of the animal. The committee was concerned that technical staff were possibly diagnosing and prescribing without veterinary supervision on 6-1, 728, 731, and 829 of 2023. The motion is 4-0.
All right, thank you. No complaint, and Mr. Stoll here.
Yes, I'll make this even briefer, given the time of day. The committee proposed minor record-keeping violations for those 4 dates, but if I go through each of the 4 dates, you'll see they're not even minor record-keeping violations. The first one on June 1st, 2023, that was a tech-only appointment for a routine vaccine that was given by a technician. Next, on July 28th, the dog was not even at the premises. That was a day when Dr. Tyler got the fecal lab results from IDEC. And because of the results, she wanted to prescribe a medication, but remembered that Hans was a puppy. And so she wrote in the handwritten record that she needed a current weight in order to calculate the appropriate dosage. 3 days later, on July 31st, Hans came in and was weighed in follow-up to Dr. Tyler's request. So it was a weight-only appointment. Then finally, on August 29th, that was simply for Hans to have a heartworm test. These are tech appointments. TPR and weight were taken, except on the date when the dog wasn't even there. There was no physical exam by a veterinarian because it wasn't a veterinarian appointment. It's also important to note on none of these 4 dates was the owner charged for an examination fee for the visit. Since this complaint, Dr. Tyler has adopted a new policy where she specifically notes in the medical record tech only appointment to eliminate any confusion going forward. We feel that there are not even any minor record keeping violations under 3222.33b3, and so this should be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Wright, I believe you are the lead.
I am. So, yes, thank you. That kind of cleared up a couple questions that I had there. So, first around this ivermectin thing, I actually had to go back and listen to the IC because I didn't know what was going on. I thought we were not wanting to prescribe like an actual heart card or
confused at what we were talking about.
Yeah, so it sounds like we wanted ivermectin as a bottle and just kind of dosing it out. So,
I think that's what conclusion I came to.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm going to say no on that too. So I have no problems with declining that. I was going through on those minor record violations, and I kind of agree with Mr. Stoll that it does look like things were written out correctly, but the June 1st is the one that I had a big question about, because a vaccine was given and there is no such thing as a technician appointment.
Right.
So this was done without a veterinarian being in there. An exam was done, a TPR was taken, a diagnosis of healthy was made so that we could actually give a vaccine, all without a veterinarian being in there. So that is a violation. That is a problem. That's practicing without a license. So I guess my question is kind of, where do we go on that? I mean, is that is that professionally acceptable procedure, or is that going to be under like a full-on unlicensed practitioner?
So June 1st, where does it have a diagnosis? It doesn't say healthy.
Well, no, but to actually give a vaccine, you need to make sure they're healthy enough for the vaccine.
You need an exam before giving a vaccine.
A technician can't give a vaccine without
a
doctor's
seal. Yeah, we can give vaccines under the direction of a veterinarian.
Right.
The veterinarian never saw this dog. You can't do it without a veterinarian seeing that dog. A technician can't take an animal into a room and say, oh, you're healthy, give a vaccine. That's a violation of statute. That is practicing without a license.
I mean, you have to have a valid client-patient relationship, which they have.
You need an example.
Will you show me that in the statutes? Because I don't recall that. It says that.
Well, there's no such, a technician cannot
administer a vaccine under the direction of a veterinarian. Yes, we can.
Without the veterinarian making a diagnosis of the animal being healthy on a current exam.
That's not a thing.
Madam Chair, members of the board. The board has more recently found someone in violation of doing just that. And what we have over time told people is point to the rule that talks about what needs to be in a medical record, which is the general condition TPR and results of the exam. And the board over time has talked about that only a vet can do an exam because they're the only ones qualified to do such a thing, or make something like a diagnosis of healthy to give that.
There just wasn't a diagnosis on here because there was no
of that piece of it. But there's also lots of, over time, there's been many mixed opinions about everything I just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, again, I just want to make sure there was no healthy diagnosis made, so there was not a
so we're missing tech exam. We're missing a diagnosis on there. So we gave a vaccine.
There was no exam, right? There was
a TPR and everything there. So
again, term tech appointment is not allowed. The term tech exam not allowed.
I would say tech exam no. Tech appointment would be like
that's
an L
but training. that's what
right.
I was saying was tech appointment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
to actually administer a drug, I consider that an actual treatment, and without a veterinarian being involved, that's a problem for me. So let's see, where's okay. That was my one thing is, okay. So would this be ARS 3222, 3221 as released to R311 502L, for not including the results of the examination.
That's a good start. And 5?
Because you have the temperature, heart, respiration, but no general condition of the animal. And this is not livestock.
And what about number?
LYN 5, yeah, thank you.
Okay, anything else?
And I believe that's why the committee recommended
minor. Yeah. Well, so I'd make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222, 3221, failure to maintain adequate record of veterinary services provided as it relates to R311502L, number 4, for the full results of the examination, and number 5, for not including a tentative or definitive diagnosis.
Would it be better just put that there was no examination since it didn't see a veterinarian? Because you can't put full results of the examination if it never was examined.
I know what everybody else thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't an exam.
Yeah, this one comes up, keeps coming up.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that we call things technician exams.
So
is
they
is
didn't, it's technician appointment.
Yeah,
they already said that, 9200 times. Technician appointment, different.
But if an exam has to occur before the vaccination.
Yeah.
True, but
again,
there
are
many other things
that
happen.
We're kind of muddying the waters and creating these issues by using the wrong nomenclature.
Right.
Just like we get so, I don't want to say butthurt, but butthurt about saying CBT or certified technician or technician in general when it's an assistant. It's like we muddy the waters with this wrong nomenclature. So.
But again, yeah. There is no exam, so you can't really say for failure to document the full exam, there was no exam.
Just
Say for failure to do an exam, because there was no exam.
So that would be 32-22, 32-12, as it relates to 311-501 for professionally acceptable procedures, and goes back to
21, just for failure to maintain adequate records.
Oh, okay, it is standalone, okay. All right, so let's do, I'll make a motion to find a violation of ARS 32-22, 32-21 for failure to maintain adequate records of services provided.
And then you can maybe just say for
not completing a full physical examination before getting a vaccine.
On June 1st?
On June 1st, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Is this a consent agreement?
At this juncture, it would have to be.
Yeah.
So, offer this consent agreement to be signed within 30 days or demanded to an informal.
You have to accept the funding.
Yeah, we got to do that
first. Okay.
Okay, so hold on. Do we want to just vote first on the violation?
Well, I'd rather do the findings of fact before we vote on violation.
Can you do the whole thing as one?
Yeah, just reference the report and then your violation.
So, let me go back to this because we're going to have to modify the findings of fact to just include the 6-1.
Or you could issue a letter of concern.
I don't think that's good.
So I'll make a motion to find the findings of fact of the IC as our findings of fact and the conclusions of law to state the aforementioned violation.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second. A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now the consent agreement.
Okay, so now.
Do we have any priors? Still partially.
Dr. Tyler, she's had, let's see here, in 2002, she was placed on probation for 1 year, and there's not a lot of information on here. It says alleged that doctor failed to record monitoring the dog during surgery and failed to record dosages. The dog passed away. She was placed on probation. She was found in violation, placed on probation for 1 year. In 2008, there was a case where it was dismissed and she was issued a letter of concern regarding communication with the pet owner about procedures. 2009, she was offered a consent agreement for medical record keeping violation. She was placed on 1 year probation, had to do 4 hours of CE at the emergency animal clinic record keeping course, and pay a civil penalty of $250.
So this is my question here is, I mean, what kind of continuing education is going to help with, you can't let technicians do exams and stuff. So
ethics.
What's that?
Ethics. It's a great topic. Find CE for
I guess it could be ethics. I'm just like, it's more of like a misinterpretation of the law. I don't think there's like a willful thing going on here. It's just we need to understand that veterinarians do veterinary work.
And again, the technician can administer the vaccine.
Yes.
There's a veterinarian's direction.
Yeah, after the veterinarian's done their
exam.
After an exam.
Because I've sent technicians to get vaccines after I've done my exam. That's not a problem. I have no problems with that. I go with the rabies. But even then, I think you can, but I never do. I'd say, is there really CE for that, for this? Or is it kind of like read the statutes and report back to us?
C is going to be tough because that's our statutes. That's a state statute.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think it's necessarily unethical. That's a little bit of a reach there, because again, I don't think we're willfully doing something. I think we're just ignorant of kind of how.
Is it a staff training issue?
That's what I'm thinking.
Standard of practice.
CE and staff monitoring training, that there are CE for that, that covers that.
Yeah,
and it doesn't fit that well, but.
No.
300 word report on what veterinarians are allowed to do. Yeah, because I mean, we could do just regular medical records. I just don't think that really is useful.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We don't have to do.
Well, if it's punitive, don't do it.
You could just do a decree of censure. Yeah. So you can do a decree of censure based on this, based on a violation. Okay, yeah. That's a separate thing.
We need to get it right because it's going to come up again.
Yeah, well, I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah.
I think this is just something we need to really get out there.
Decree of censure.
I mean, yeah, we've only done a couple of those, but basically a decree of censure saying that we need to make sure that.
Yeah, it memorializes that they engaged in unprofessional conduct with respect to the record keeping on that date.
Is it kind of like a boilerplate thing, or do we need to have something specific?
No, it's just, it's kind of your entryway into discipline.
Okay, so we don't need to type, or we don't need to like
it's not a letter
it's just
of concern,
here.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah,
your findings of fact will address why the decree of censure was issued.
Okay. I think that works then.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say all the other pieces as far as not signed and?
Yeah, not signed within 30 days, remand to an informal.
I'm sorry, what's the discipline?
Decree of censure.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. No further discussion. Let's do roll call. Ms. Prager is an aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Motion passes. All right, now we are down to number 15, 2475, in regards to Diego Flores, DVM.
Yes.
Case 24,
are straight to board cases regarding Diego Flores and some premises issues that the board opened the investigation after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Quartz Mountain Animal Hospital.
Okay, and we've got Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring.
All right, and Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Yes, I've noted a total of 13 violations that I'm sure we're gonna have questions on. So I move this to, make a motion, move this to informal.
Second.
So usually premises
are
kind of black and white, either you're in inspection or not, so.
Okay, so you want to go through the 13 violations?
Well.
Okay.
Hold on. Victoria, can you please help?
So if you can help, like what questions do you need enlightening about? I don't want you to stop you from having informal.
Okay.
Typically it's like, well, this is what we found.
Okay.
Right, like the other ones we've done today.
Okay. Actually, it's both facilities. They have very similar problems. We've been told they've been fixed, and they haven't been when we've gone back for inspection.
Right, so like our other two today, aren't we offering them doing consent agreements? Saying
I can do that. I've got the conditions here, but it's going to take me a while to read through it all.
Well, can we say that it's what's in? Does she actually have to read through each?
I would ask Mark that question.
I'm sorry, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom, and I'm just like.
I want
to
read.
So close.
Could you rephrase the question?
Can she say what is in the staff report?
Does she have to read?
Or does she have to read absolutely every single
The staff report doesn't identify the statute.
Okay.
Which I would love to see done in the future.
Okay, and so is it, I'm sorry, I got a little lost. Is this because we're moving this forward to an informal?
No, they're saying let's do the consent agreement now.
And she's just asking, can we shortcut it by not reading everything?
But at this point, we're taking longer to say it. So
right.
Go ahead.
I think what you can do is you can reference the report. We'll have to align the statute violations with the conduct that's referenced in the report. Does that make sense?
So I won't have to identify the statute, because it took a long time to go through and identify the statutes that went with each rule on the inspection report, so.
Terribly different. But anyway.
Well, she's talking about the statute. We usually just cite the rule.
There could be somebody at the front door.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I
know we only have to come back.
I'm going to be on the front page of the paper.
Even the protest is not now.
Come on, let's get out of here. Let's either do a consent agreement or move it to informal, please.
I understand that. I don't want that.
I think as long as you have enough information in the report to, in the consent agreement, to reference the violations of law, then I think you can just reference in your motion the violations as set forth in the report.
I've got two to add to that, to the report.
Then we'll make note of those.
Okay. The two I'm adding to the report deal with ARS 3222.33A1, unprofessional and dishonorable conduct, making false reports to in writing on 8/9/23 response to the 7/26/23 inspection report.
Wait, we're kind of going off on a tangent like we did the other ones. We don't really want to go there, do we?
Right, the falsified report.
Right, telling us everything is fixed and it's not.
Well, so we have to take a little bit of perspective what goes on in a veterinary practice, right? They're told all these things they did wrong and they go in and they fix all those things that were on their list, right?
No.
Then they have to come up with the protocols and processes to make sure it never happens again, which, like what Dr. James was saying, takes a little bit of time to get human beings to catch up on that, which, again, not an excuse, maybe still violations, but I would say probably not willful and downright, ha-ha, watch me do it anyway.
Long story short, let's take that one out.
Okay, second one I was adding was written response was late. Statutes say 15 days, and it was an extra 18 days.
It's possible we could have given an extension.
We got
for
an extension.
That. There are times.
You got an extension?
Yes.
There are times we do allow.
Okay, we need to know that. Okay. Then I'll move that we adopt the for the offer consent agreement and with the findings of fact that's stated in the investigative division report for today's board meeting. And items 1-9 of that report.
Okay, this is for $24.75?
Yes.
Okay.
And the conclusions of law, let's do this in one motion then. Findings of fact, conclusions of law as stated in that report.
As referenced by the findings, I think that's fine. I think that's the gist.
Okay.
And
I'll know not to spend the time with the sketch.
If he has any concerns. You represent the clones.
Yeah.
You're okay with
short
lining up the findings and the conclusions.
I think it'd be
74 A's, 5. I'm sorry, my brain's.
And Jane, if you want to send those to me, you can just email it to me.
Okay, be happy to.
Thank you.
Striking out the first two. Okay, yeah. So there are 11.
And then what were we going to do with respect to, this is a consent agreement.
Yes,
so.
And then for the consent agreement, 1 year probation with 8 hours of, with a re-inspection within that 1 year period, 8 hours of CE, 2 hours each on controlled substances management, anesthesia exam and monitoring, medical records and practice management.
Is that broken down in a certain way?
Pardon?
Two and two.
Okay, so no, she said that.
Two for each, and there's 4 subjects, so that's 8 hours.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. You're good at math.
Pardon?
You're good at math.
Yes, I minored in math at U of A.
Can I just clarify? You said 2 hours of medical record keeping, 2 hours of controlled substance, 2 hours of practice management, and what was the other one?
2 hours in controlled substance management, 2 hours in anesthesia exam and monitoring, 2 hours in medical records, and 2 hours in practice management.
Was there anything else?
I'm going to drop the practice monitor since the board didn't like that last time. And find, priors, sorry, before I go in the penalty. This is punishment for my birthday.
Next year will be better.
Let's see here. So
I'll be 76. So
in 2010, Dr. Flores was found in violation of ARS 3222.32.12 as it relates to R 2011 511 for failure to provide courteous verbal interchange with a pet owner. R-3115018 for failure to provide a copy of the dog's medical record to the pet owner within 10 days from the request. And the board censured Dr. Flores' license. In 2010, Dr. Flores was placed on probation for failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures and was placed on probation for 1 year to do 4 hours of CE and client communication and a $100 civil penalty. In 2012, he was placed on probation for 1 year, had to do 4 hours of CE in dermatological diseases, plus 4 hours of medical record keeping, as he was found in violation of ARS 3222-3212, as it relates to R-3115011 for failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by not recommending allergy testing, such as a food trial or a referral to a dermatologist. 3222-33B3, as it relates to some medical record keeping issues, and failure to document concentration and route of administration.
Okay, thank you. I'll move we find civil penalties of $500 for the one violation related to controlled substances, and for violations number, I did it based on my report, but for the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, for the other 10, it would be $200 each for a total of $2,500 in civil penalties.
Okay, what is that okay, everyone?
We need a second. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the consent agreement.
If not signed within 30 days, blah, blah.
Okay, let's do roll call.
Thank you.
Ms. Prager is an aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Sullivan?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, that was for both.
No, that's for just for one. Yeah. Yes.
So 75 has the same summary.
Right.
Except this is for Aztec in the hospitals. So okay.
Yeah, it's a different location, and there's a slightly different list of repeat violations.
Okay.
So I'll make it, I'll expedite this and move that we offer consent agreement finding findings of fact as stated in the investigative division report for today's board, and conclusions of law being those stated in the same investigative report.
Okay.
Priors? Oh, we got to vote first. Sorry.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Priors?
Let's call it disciplinary history.
Okay.
Thanks. Just so it doesn't sound like we're talking about comments.
And that was previously listed.
It has
pardon?
The I
right.
As previous.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Okay, that was, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So
see, we're losing
I would,
it.
I would, yeah. I would include a civil penalty of $500 for the one violation related to controlled substances, and $200 each for the remainder for a total of $1,700.
I can decide. I'm like, I don't think we need to do any additional CE, right?
No, I think we covered it. Let me double check. Let me double check. No, it's basically, yeah, it
okay.
covers the.
And so what did you want that civil penalty paid within 60 days, 90 days?
We're hitting them pretty hard with a lot of fines. So, I mean, I would like, I understand, but if we're going to go for that many, that I would prefer.
Any of the concerns are the same. Why don't we just consolidate the two and issue one consent agreement?
Oh, I would love that.
To encompass it. And then
okay. Where there's overlap, eliminate them.
Divide them both.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And
okay
if where there's
that?
Duplicate, let's
it's $500 for anything related to controlled substances.
Okay.
So if they're duplicate on the same, on the two different premises, you're saying count it as one?
Well, that's up to you. So in the one case, you did the 2,500.
Right.
You know, do you want to just...
Do we have to combine the cases, or can we just say that the CE works for this and this? We can
the CE,
I think it would be easier if we just consolidate them, and then the consent agreement would flush that out.
I would line them out, each separate case,
yeah,
and in the same consent agreement, and then you could just consolidate your...
The order would be one.
Right.
The order
to address both of the, you know, the cases.
You have to mention each facility separately now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
But your sanctions could...
Cover both.
The same with what? Yes, it's both.
So as previously mentioned, if you just want to use those.
I'm proposing the additional because this is, I mean, and my concern is he's the same responsible vet for both facilities. We have the same problems at very similar, not identical, but very similar problems at each facility.
Well, yeah, but you can still have the same 2,500 and 1,700. You can still do that.
Okay. That's
what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, because
okay,
you can still have all those.
Okay.
Set. It's just having one consent agreement as
yes,
opposed to having two
I'm,
separate ones.
I'm wholly for
especially
that.
For like CE.
Yeah.
You don't need
yeah,
to
yeah,
be
you don't need double
no,
CE.
No,
CE.
Yeah, the CE. Place. I was just double checking, and the CE over there covers, yeah, covers. It's the same. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Cool.
We can eliminate it. It's just the CE previously mentioned, the 8 hours.
So, again, can we just make sure that can we give him 90 days to pay? He's going to have to pay us like $5,000 almost, right? So
isn't it by the end of the
probation?
Okay.
To come off of probation.
And initially I thought there was going to be two consent agreements. So
okay.
If we're just going to combine it, then yes, that civil penalty can be paid on or before the end of the probationary period.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Which is a year. So he's got a year to come off.
Okay. So that is our other motion for a consent agreement. So again, let's do, we had a motion. Sorry. Was there a second?
Oh, second.
Motion and a second. Let's do roll call again. Ms. Krager is an aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
It's an aye. Okay. Can we please stop real quick to go to the bathroom, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, being a diabetic, I need to hit the food room.
Okay.
You do that.
I'm going to supervise you.
Okay, I'm going to bring the food in here.
No, I don't.
Do we have an idea about how much longer we are going to go?
So we have one more IR.
Yes, we have.